Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Today, we sit down with a couple of soldiers from the Minnesota Army National Guard and get a recap of the Veterans Day on the Hill event. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Traditional Guard members drill primarily one weekend a month. That means nearly all of our soldiers and airmen have other careers and other responsibilities outside of their military service. Two of the most prominent responsibilities are family and employment. The Minnesota National Guard recognizes this challenge of balancing responsibilities and provides resources to assist. Our family programs teams work tirelessly to support our military families. They offer military youth programs, transition assistance for members preparing to leave the military, and a connection to other valuable resources. Our employers Support Guard and Reserve Program, known as ESGR, ensures that employers understand exactly what it means to employ a Guard member. The ESGR program also recognizes the standout companies in our community who provide exceptional support to our Guard members, be it at home, at the office, or in uniform. We all do a better job and feel better about it if we've got the right support. Here in Minnesota, we've got the right support.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'll start off by apologizing for my voice. Must have been a little bit too much yelling at the Veterans Day on the Hill event yesterday. And then I was also at the Minnesota Wild game last night, where it was almost like a low-scoring football game. Aside from that, we're going to do the show, and we're going to get on through this. So in the studio with me today from the Minnesota Army National Guard is First Sergeant Steve Cox and Specialist Mitchell Hogue. First Sergeant, Specialist, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for having us.
All right, so First Sergeant Cox, 17 years of service. You're at the 224th Transportation Company. Specialist Hogue, 6 years of service now at the 224th as well. Minnesota National Guard, a different range of years of experience, obviously. But First Sergeant, let's start with you. 17 years, what led you to the Minnesota National Guard?
Yeah, I just really wanted to find something to give back and continue growing. And I met a really good friend of mine that was in the National Guard and was deploying on the 05-06 mission in Iraq. And he kind of showed me what was going on, and I told him that I would join when he gets back from his deployment. And in the meantime, I actually went to a military ball for the Marines. And I went to that, and I loved it so much, I actually was going to join the Marines. So when he got back, I went to the Marines recruiting office and was signing up, and they said, okay, we'll see you back in 2 weeks, and we'll start your fitness training. And then my buddy ended up talking me into checking out the National Guard, and I signed up the day I went there. So,
now, was it the uniforms? Because that's generally what it is, right, for the Marine Corps?
Yeah, that had a lot to do with it, and just the cohesion. I mean, everybody was hugging everybody the whole time, and me as an outsider, they pretended like I was a Marine for that day.
Yeah. And how'd you get invited to that ball?
My cousin joined the Marines right before that, so it was kind of her going away one, and okay. She invited me.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you. And Specialist Hogue, why'd you join?
I first joined in 2019 to help pay for college. So I was going to college in Mankato, and that's not the reason I stayed in, but in 2021, I had my first daughter, so I dropped out of college, so the school benefits didn't mean anything to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But giving back, being able to help people that need help, that's what keeps me in.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. And we're going to talk about some of the experiences that you've had in your short time. But first, Sergeant, I want to come over to you. Obviously, over 17 years, you've seen a little bit of a changing of the guard, so to speak. What kind of challenges do you see as a first sergeant? The leadership issues are the things that you're having to deal with right now.
Yeah, and I guess I started off in artillery and then moved over to transportation. And, yeah, just seeing everything grow and, you know, really focusing on the leader development program and giving them the tools they need prior to them being put into a leadership role.
And when you joined early on, did you know you wanted to be in some type of a leadership position, or was your initial plan to do your term and then be done?
I joined and I thought I was going to stay in until I couldn't.
Okay.
And once I saw the rank structure, I just wanted to figure out how to, implement more things to more people. And you do that by growing throughout the rank structure.
And how long have you been a first sergeant?
I joined 224 in December of last year. And then I was a first sergeant for the HHC out of 1347 DSSB. I know that was a lot of acronyms and I wasn't supposed to do that.
Talk to us about your deployment.
Yeah, so just hit like a 20 years since that initial thought of joining for the deployment. And yeah, I went on the deployment in 09-10. Originally, we didn't know where we were really going. They said you could be going to Kuwait, you could be going to Iraq. And we ended up doing both. So we were stationed in Camp Bearing and we were convoy escort team, and we traveled throughout Iraq and helped protect the trucks and trailers that were picking up gear or dropping off gear.
And that was when you were a part of the 151st Field Artillery unit?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was in Iraq at the same time and got to spend some time with some of your unit members when they came through Basra.
Oh, yeah.
So so interesting time. So was that your first and only deployment?
Yes, first and only. In 2013, we had a war note to go to Afghanistan, and it got pulled back as soon as I told my entire family and cried a lot. So
now, Specialist Hogue, you haven't deployed, right? But you kind of did a deployment, and we're going to talk about this special operations opportunity you had. But I'm doing that as a tease right now because we don't want to drag it into the next segment. We want to make sure we've got enough time to talk about it. So let's talk about your experience as a member of the Minnesota Guard. You talked about, you know, joining for the school benefits. Obviously, things happen, life changes, but you stay.
Yes. I enlisted as a fueler. 92 Fox. The only reason I chose a fueler is they told me there was a $20,000 bonus with it.
Okay.
So I swapped that up. But when I first got to the unit, it wasn't what I was expecting. It was a lot lower speed than I was expecting. I've always wanted to do that cool guy stuff you see in videos and YouTube everywhere. So that's something I've been chasing since then. And I'd gotten to the point, I tried everything I thought I could. I didn't think anything I could do was going to get me out of it because I was just a fueler in the guard. And then September of 2023, my dad committed suicide, and that kind of just shook everything up.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yep. I don't know. I try not to look down on it. Like, everybody has stuff. You can't hate somebody for something you can't go after them for, I guess, but I use it as motivation for myself because no day's guaranteed. You just, you do what you can do. And there's no reason I can't still go after all that cool stuff I wanted to go after before.
Yeah, so it's just about how you go about doing it, right?
Yeah.
And so you had the opportunity to go into a Special Forces Readiness Evaluation.
Yes.
And you just recently completed that.
Yes.
And you're using that as a launching pad because we'll talk about it in the next segment as well, your competition in the Best Warrior competition.
Yep.
So the command chief was on the program not too long ago and sharing about the preparation going into Best Warrior competition. So that's pretty neat. First Sergeant, I'll come back to you. So you've had the opportunity now, obviously, as a first sergeant, a couple of different units. You know, you talk about some challenges and things like that. What do you think has been the biggest change from the day you joined to what you see now in the leadership position?
Just being more out there and understanding that the group of soldiers that are coming in are, you know, coming from different environments and we're really trying to adapt to each individual person versus when I joined, it was this company does this, this company does that. And there wasn't, like the best warrior stuff, like just breaking out the different groups and training for those different accolades that they're looking for.
So what we're going to do is, because you've got a unique story too about an experience you had, it was something I wasn't even tracking, about an all-Army softball team. So we're going to go to break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the all-Army softball team. We'll talk about the Special Forces assessment evaluation and some of the other high-speed stuff that that you're going to be looking at, Specialist Hoag. So this is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and once again, I'll apologize for the voice, but this is just the way it is. In the studio with me, I've got Specialist Mitchell Hoag and First Sergeant Stephen Cox, both from the 224th Transportation Company in the Minnesota Army National Guard, and we teased a little bit before going into break, and I'll come back to you, First Sergeant. The all-Army softball team, it's a part of the morale, health, and part of the Army. And I didn't even know that it existed, but you had an opportunity to try out for and actually compete on the team. Tell us a little bit about the process and what it is.
Yeah, so I was told about the MWR Army, All-Army Softball Team, and basically what happens is you put in a packet and you submit it to the All-Army team captain, and basically there's 100 applications that get submitted. And then 25 of them are selected, and you go out to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and you try out to make the top 15 players on the team. And then you basically build yourself up to play at the Armed Forces Tournament in Oklahoma City.
And so how'd the team do this year?
The Army won gold.
There you go. So you're a gold medal winner.
Yes, gold medal winner for sure.
Congratulations. Who did you play for in the who did you play against in the gold medal round?
Played against the Air Force.
Okay. All right. Good competition, too.
Yes, yes. And that appears over the last 10 years is generally an Army versus Air Force. As I was down there, I can see that the Navy and the Marines are right there, too.
Yeah. And so have you been playing softball a long time? Is that kind of what got you interested or what?
Yeah. So I've been playing competitive softball since I got out of high school. And I didn't even know about this military thing at all. Actually, I didn't even know that there was military ball. And I started playing in Florida. There's an annual military tournament. And okay. I was playing in it. And I'm like, I'm used to this level.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you should try out. And I'm like, try out for what? And just to know that the National Guard could try out as well. I mean, so, yeah, I went down there and the competition, I walked in there and everybody looked really good. So yeah. I was really worried. Just working on the fundamentals and keep grinding. And yeah, that's kind of how we got there.
So you become a part of the team. So then are you on active duty orders? So you're getting paid to play?
Yeah. Yeah. Got paid to play. Had a person that would help, fix our injuries, to put us back in the game.
Full training staff and everything.
Yeah.
Like it, major league almost, huh?
Yeah. It was incredible. And the coaching staff too is just remarkable.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. I've experienced actually the All-Army hockey team. I didn't play. I'm not that good. But was able to travel out and watch them play because I knew who the coach was. And they were out in Syracuse. And that was a lot of fun. And so I think that those those events, the MWR events, are pretty neat to really bring really the best of the best together. We hear about the Army-Navy, football game, for example, right? But something like this, a lot of competition going on. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, and it opened my eyes up to digging into what else they have. You know, so they have a big golf event too. So there's a couple people that I talked to out of Minnesota that are almost amateur golfer level, and they want to get into it. And then they have a wrestling program, and since we're talking about Hoag all the time, he happened to be a really good wrestler too. So I'm trying to talk him into that.
We're gonna hear more about his story in a second. But so are you? Are you going to keep trying to be on the team? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, once you're on the team, you're always on the team. Just connection with everybody and just meeting, see them at different tournaments. And, my goal would be to, give it another shot.
Perfect. Get another gold.
Yeah, gold medals are great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, congratulations on that. It's pretty cool. You know, and you get to be a good voice for it, right? It's not just a active component deal. This is for the Army, and the Army consists of active component, the National Guard, and the reserve component. So so that's cool. Congratulations on that. So Specialist Hogue, talk to us a little bit about your big experience with the Special Forces readiness evaluation. How did you get selected to do it, and what was it like?
Sign up to do it, and they just got a website online. You just send a form in, talk to your leadership, and then you can go down there and try out.
Okay, and where'd you go?
Indiana.
All right. And what did it what was it like? Like, what kind of preparation do you have to do to get there? Because you have to know it's a very short amount of time, and so you're going to have to prove yourself, I assume.
Yep.
So what did you do to prepare, and then what did you do of the actual event?
I lifted a lot of weights before, did a lot of rucking and running. Those are two very big things I found out from that tryout. Okay. I went in blind. I don't know any Green Berets. I'm a fueler. I'm not familiar with the infantry stuff.
Yeah.
But I went in with the mindset of I'm going to give it everything I have and see what happens.
Yeah. And so you made it. You went down there. You survived the test.
Survived. I did not make it, but nothing I've ever truly felt like I achieved. I did on the first time.
Sure.
I got invited back to try out again. I'm going to try out again because I have passion for it. That's what I want.
But you were saying it wasn't the physical stuff. You were good physically.
Physically, I was fine. It was infantry knowledge I wasn't great at. Right. I have
not your background.
No, it's not.
Okay.
And I have three kids, and that I don't want to – after the tryout, you get sent to real selection, SFAS, Special Forces Assessment Selection. And if you pass that – they'll send you to airborne because I don't have airborne qualification yet. And after you pass airborne school, they'd send you to the Q course.
Yeah.
Q course is 2 years long down in Fort Bragg. There's a lot of guys that they have families. They don't go down with their families, and they don't drop out of the course because the course is too hard. They drop out for family reasons.
Yeah.
So I just verified with them before I left. I was like, if I come back and I do better next time, better with the infantry stuff, score higher on the physical stuff, I still have a chance to get through. And they said there was still the opportunity, so I'll take it.
So what motivates you, though? You know, you talked about your dad in the last segment.
Yep.
Does that draw a lot of your motivation? Or
my biggest motivation's my kids. I have two daughters and a son. And I don't know, growing up seeing my dad, he owned a business. He was a doctor in Minnesota. I saw his billboards all over the place. And I want to be a good role model for my kids, do stuff that I would have looked up to when I was younger, and I don't think there's anything I would have looked up to more than a Green Beret.
Yeah, right. Now, First Sergeant, you were saying kind of jokingly, but serious, you know, you've got a high speed right here in your unit in, you know, things like the Best Warrior Competition. You know, you're looking for the best of the best to compete because you want something that'll go represent your company well and win the state, go to the region, win the region, go to the National Guard. So you've got somebody here that we already know is physically fit, so it must have been a pretty easy selection to get him involved.
Yeah, I basically got on board, and they had this Best Warrior, and I checked him out, and he's ready to go. You know, a lot of times as a first sergeant, you're trying to get people that want to be in the Best Warrior competition, and then you start training them on how to do it. But yeah, Hogue's ready to go, and I mean, selfishly, I got to say that he's our company guy, but I didn't groom him.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully what I can do from the day he met me until then, he'll just continue to grow.
When's the competition start?
End of April.
Okay. So it's right around the corner for you.
Yep.
You're still preparing for it, doing some physical fitness.
Yep.
Cause I would imagine, did you already get the agenda of what it's going to look like, or is it going to be a surprise when you show up?
Still a surprise to me. I haven't gotten anything yet,
but you probably have a good idea of what to expect. Yep. A lot of physical requirements. And how long is the competition?
4 days, I believe.
4 days up at Camp Ripley, right?
I think so.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. And then First Sergeant, will you be up there too?
Yeah, I'll be up there on Sunday. So
okay.
I love seeing the Best Warriors, you know, and especially this guy. It's great. He's going to be, you know, doing an ACFT, and by the time he gets a drink of water, they're going to be telling him to do some land nav 2 miles away.
Yeah, and that's the Army Combat Fitness Test, which is a combination of how many different events?
Six.
Six different events, yeah. So it's going to be a good time. We know you're going to do a good job. You know, you've got great motivation to want to do it, right?
Yes.
You want to be that role model, and I think that's a really great thing. So last question for you. We've only got 30 seconds. There's somebody out there right now thinking about joining the Guard potentially or the military. What do you say to them?
Give everything you can. Push whatever opportunities you want to get. Just because you start off somewhere that doesn't set you up where you want to be set up doesn't mean you can't get there.
That's awesome. Great advice. First Sergeant, final thoughts from you?
Yeah, I'd say learn from everybody. Don't just stop at the E4, E5. Ask everybody every question you can, and you'll learn and grow.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, hey, congratulations again on the gold medal with the All-Army softball team, First Sergeant.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Congratulations, Specialist Hoke, for going through the Special Forces stuff. That's pretty cool. You'll do it again. I know you'll succeed. You got great motivation around you. And, of course, best of luck at the Best Warrior competition here in a couple of weeks. We appreciate you guys coming into Minnesota Military Radio and putting up with this nasty voice.
Thank you.
All right. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In a moment, we'll get a full update about the Veterans Day on the Hill event that took place on April 9th. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Brad Lindsay.
When the Civil War began on April 12, 1861, Minnesota's governor, Alexander Ramsey, was in Washington, D.C. Ramsey immediately promised President Lincoln a regiment of 1,000 volunteer soldiers from Minnesota. These soldiers would end up being the first troops to fight for the United States during the Civil War. Ordinary men from Minnesota made an extraordinary sacrifice. During the course of the Civil War, over 22,000 Minnesotans answered the call to service. These brave Minnesotans often found themselves on the front lines or the last to leave the battlefield. Minnesotans played a pivotal role, and their service will never be forgotten. The Civil War deeply shaped us in many ways, and the 1st Minnesota Volunteer Infantry Regiment holds a special place in the history of our state.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me in the studio is no stranger to the program, the Legislative Director for the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, Trent Dilks. Trent, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you for having me back. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, and, you know, you were joking with me, but, you know, you've been on so many times, and if anybody here should be losing their voice, it should be you. After yesterday, and you joked with me and said, you know, maybe I'll just ask myself questions and then you can just answer yourself, you know, so maybe we'll see how that works out.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised I didn't. I did some yelling in the rotunda yesterday, but it's still here. So
yeah,
we'll make it through.
Well, I mean, let's get right into it because I was down at the Armory, spent a couple of hours down there visiting with some of our veterans and just, you know, rubbing elbows, right? Shaking hands and seeing everybody. It's always a great event, but give us the numbers. How many people showed up and what was the day like?
It was amazing. About 700 to 800, somewhere in there, showed up. We had, I think, 13, 14 buses come from greater Minnesota. I mean, we had people getting up at 3 a.m. To drive to a place to meet a bus, to get on a bus for 3 hours, to come down to the Capitol, you know, spend 5-6 hours at the Capitol and then do it all in reverse. It was it's inspiring and it's amazing to see every year.
Yeah, I was when I got to the Armory, a bus had just pulled up, and I was like, I better get out of the way because, man, these guys are coming off that bus. They're piling into the Armory, and you guys had a great setup for them, a good box lunch, a nice meal, and some coffee and some resource booths, and, you know, people were talking and having a good time, it looked like.
Yeah, it's always a great time. You know, we have a shuttle bus. We're getting them to their meetings and appointments with their elected officials. But right there in the room, we had elected officials come down to the Armory, meet with their people there. And then there's just all the networking, all the communication. We set it up a little different this year. Less tables, really trying to get people to mingle, to talk, to compare what's going on, what's working, what's not working.
Yeah, you know, and it was a good setup, and it really was conducive for that type of an environment to kind of force some of that networking, so to speak. So I really like that setup. And so let's talk about the speeches, right? So you had the social time, you provided a lunch, and then you got into some pretty powerful messaging before you went on the big march. So talk to us about that messaging in the Armory.
Yeah, and It's we break this into basically two parts. At the Armory, we're trying to network, we're trying to educate, we're trying to get ready for the big rally in the Rotunda. And that's what we did. So we had some speakers. We had Christy Giannigo from the American Legion. She talked about claim sharks and some of the other issues. Tom Lyons, who you might be familiar with.
I've heard of him before.
Yeah. He was our MC, and he talked about food insecurity and some of the efforts to try to alleviate that. And then we had somebody from MACV there talking about veterans homelessness.
And so, you know, in that group, what was kind of the main point that you're driving, you wanted to drive home as the veterans, the VSOs had the opportunity to meet with their legislative officials? What were some of the themes that you were really trying to push for?
Yeah. And you know, what happened is we had a curveball thrown at us, right? We always have our priorities. I was on a couple months ago, you know, before the session started, talking about those and property tax and food insecurity and those things. What we weren't anticipating was the morning of Veterans Day on the Hill, we would have to start fighting just for basic levels of funding for the programs that already exist and the things we rely on. So we really had to on the fly, kind of adjust what our message was going to be and what we needed to fight for.
Can you give me an example of something that was really the big curveball?
Yeah. House File 2444. The House Veterans Affairs Committee voted it out as I was driving over to show up at the Armory unanimously. And it cuts $10 million out of the state's homeless veterans program. It eliminates the program. In all reality, you cut $10 million from that for the biennium, and that program is gone.
Yeah, no. You know, we don't try to get into politics here. Obviously, you're legislative director, so, you know, you can't help but talk about politics. But I would assume that that was a topic that was brought up in the Capitol Rotunda as well. And I know the governor was there to speak, and, you know, he's talked about this being one of his priorities on this show several times. I'm just wondering if you've heard any feedback from, you know, his line of thinking now and in the results of what the House just passed.
Yeah, it's way below the proposed budget that came out of the governor preserved all of that funding. We understand it's a tight budget year. And I do understand about politics. I really do, as someone who's been a legislative director. But I like to remind people what I do is legislation. The things that go on to pass it or defeat it, that's the politics. That's the dirty word, politics. What we're talking about is specifically advocacy and legislation that needs to be done to take care of our veterans.
And so how do you go about promoting the advocacy? What do you do? What's your vehicle?
Yeah, our big one is MINFluence. MINFluence at davmn.org. And that is a way to get people who want to take action. If you hear that they're going to eliminate the homeless veterans program in Minnesota and that makes you angry or that makes you think you need to take action, you can do so through MINFluence. You can send a note right to your lawmakers. So in this case, I have a campaign to send it to your representative in the Minnesota House. You can send them a note and you can say, this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
We demand better for our veterans.
Now, you were mentioning a couple of numbers to me before the show, before we started recording here, about very specific things that a cut in funding specific to the homeless program, very specifically, these things will happen as a result of this. Can you share that with us?
Yeah. And this was MACV, who has been fighting homelessness since they were created. Neil Lloydholt there, in his testimony, he pointed out hundreds of veterans that will return to the streets. Minnesota's homelessness program is not duplicating services. This is the best way for government to operate. It does it by filling very specific, narrow gaps. And when you eliminate the funding that really fills gaps that no one else does, not the feds, not nonprofits, nobody, you end up returning hundreds of veterans to the streets.
And the program as it is right now, and I won't get the verbiage exactly correct, you might be able to help me, is it's when it happens, if it happens, it's very limited, but there's resources in place in order to get someone back into stable housing. Is it that, did I kind of explain that?
Yeah,
right?
That's exactly it. You know, there are these broad programs in the feds that cover a lot, and there's nonprofits that cover a lot. But in these very specific, high need, kind of unique circumstances, that's where this money has been going. We lose that money, we lose the beds for these veterans, we turn them back out on the streets, and that's not acceptable.
So you had to shift priorities because of the big curveball, but that doesn't change all of the priorities. You still have some things that are on your list, and maybe you can just kind of run through some of those other things here in this last 45 seconds.
Yeah, well, we were fighting for property tax, right? That hasn't been adjusted in 14 years. Yeah. We're trying to get that adjusted. Veterans and survivors are afraid they're going to lose their homes. We're trying to fight food insecurity. That's the number one concern of veterans in Minnesota is food insecurity, and we're not addressing it outside of the metro area.
And that's just such a sad statistic that is the concern, right? I mean, we ought to be able to fix that.
Yeah, we should be able to address that. So, yeah. You know, those are really the big ones. We want a veterans omnibus bill. We got one, but it's no good.
Yeah.
And so now we got to fight to fix it.
Okay, we'll take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll talk about the march, and then I want to hear about your fiery speech in the rotunda.
Excellent.
All right. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and in the studio with me is Trent Dilks. And Trent, you know, it was a great day, Veterans Day on the Hill. We talked a little bit about, you know, kind of getting everybody ready to go in the armory, fire them up, and I wasn't able to stay to go to the Capitol. I had to go back to the Veterans Service Building for something. And I remember sitting in a meeting and I was looking out the window and I saw all these veterans kind of gathering right in front of the Veterans Service Building, ready to march straight up the grounds to the Capitol.
Every year, that's just – it's the most amazing part, you know. And this year we had some JROTC cadets leading the march. And, you know, 750, 800 veterans and supporters just marching through the veterans' memorials and then up the steps of that Capitol it's something to be a part of. It really is. To look back from those steps and see hundreds of people making that march is just wonderful.
Well, there's some good video about it on the news. And, you know, so obviously the veterans, they made their way up there. They get into the rotunda. And then one of the dangerous things that happens is Trent Dilks is given a microphone. And so you get a microphone and you gave a pretty fired up speech, I hear.
Yeah. Yep. This was a different tone. You know, they cut out the homeless funding in the House. They underfund services through MDVA by 16.5%. They shortchange the state veterans homes, which they just had built, by 12%. And I hear all of this as I'm driving to the rally, so as you might imagine, it changed my tone. I'm having a hard time not getting upset about it right now, and I can't believe anybody who hears about that doesn't get upset.
Well, and I want to talk with you during the event in the armory, but you were feverishly writing some of your chicken scratches in a corner, and I'm like, I don't want to get in his way. So you really were fired up.
I was, and you know, during the armory speech, I worked with the crowd on how to boo. I said, I'm going to be your first speaker that I need you to really work on your boos. And so for several minutes, we worked on booing. They booed me. They booed, you know, I used different examples, and they booed those. And so by the time we got into the rotunda, they were ready to boo.
Yeah, that's one thing. I mean, service members generally can take pretty good direction, can't they?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, and they did great. And, you know, sometimes when you get together, you start to feel this more formal setting. And what I've worked on over the last several years leading this rally is this is a rally.
Yeah.
Get excited. Yell a little. It's okay. Yeah. That's what we need. Bring the passion.
Right.
And that's what we brought yesterday, a lot of passion.
A lot of passion. And, you know, nobody got in trouble. Nobody got out of hand. It's respectful. But I think that, you know, those loud voices do need to be heard, don't they?
Oh, they do. And one thing, if you haven't been to this, you got to come. The Pledge of Allegiance in the Capitol Rotunda.
Yeah.
It shakes. It really does. 700 veterans saying the Pledge of Allegiance in the Capitol Rotunda. It shakes. 700 veterans booing because some politicians cut their funding, it rattles.
Well, I was talking to someone I had served with at the armory before, you know, you guys all went up, and this was the first time he had come to the Vets Day on the Hill. And he was saying that, you know, he'd heard so much about it. He's like, I got to see this for myself. So you probably got another person to be hooked, keep coming back year after year.
You know, they keep coming back. They bring new people. It's wonderful. And it's effective. While that was all going on, right, after this fiery speech, what people won't see is behind the stage, I'm already talking to politicians who don't want to be booed.
Yeah.
I'm already talking to them about how we can do better for veterans.
Right.
that is only possible if 10 people show up and it's just Trent yelling into a microphone at 10 people. That's not going to happen. Hundreds of veterans from all across the state. Now we can negotiate.
So, Trent, we got 45 seconds. Just what's the message you have and how do people get behind the initiatives and support?
Yeah, we've got to stay focused. We have to work together. We can't get distracted by partisan messages. And you can go to davmn.org, MinFluence. You can send this message. You can make sure that our veterans are taken care of.
That's awesome. Hey, I appreciate you. Thanks for all the work you put into this. I know you look forward to this every year. I know the veterans do. And it's great to see our veterans get together and come together, one voice, go to the Capitol and let our elected officials know the things that are important to our veterans.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. That's Trent Dilks with the Disabled American Veterans. He's a legislative director. Calling in from Winona County is Tom Anderson. Tom is the Winona County Veterans Service Officer and serves as the Vice President for the Minnesota Association of County Veterans Service Officers. Tom, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Doug, thank you very much for having me on. How are you today?
Yeah, doing well. I got to visit with you a little bit yesterday at the Veterans Day on the Hill event. We just had Trent Dilks in the studio giving us a recap of the event, and I thought it'd be great if we could start with you and, you know, just hear a little bit from your perspective about, you know, what kind of things led up to the event for you and what you saw yesterday.
Absolutely. So this is an event I make it to every year since I've been on the job as a veteran service officer down here. I've been able to go the last 4 years running, which is great. My first one there was the year we finally got the state legislature to get behind our efforts to get a clean veterans omnibus bill passed. And that was thanks to the hard work of Trent over many years to get that done. And it's continued, and we hope to continue that again this year. I was there in my capacity as vice president for the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers yesterday, so just making sure I was there to touch base with folks like yourself and to be support for anybody who needed it up there. Our legislative committee chair, Christy Janigo, actually got to MC the event and did a phenomenal job keeping everybody on task and keeping everybody engaged throughout the presentation in the rotunda.
Tom, why is an event like Veterans Day on the Hill, why is that so important?
It's a really important event because it gives veterans from across the state a time and place to show up, get together, and make our voices heard so that our lawmakers and our elected representatives know that we have a united front and that we may not agree on everything day to day, that we do a good job to have a consolidated and reasonable list of issues that are important to veterans every year. And all we ask is that our lawmakers give our issues consideration and that we're treated fairly and that folks' services recognized.
When we talk about the Minnesota Association of County Veterans Service Officers, like what is your role in something like this kind of an event?
So in this event, we're essentially there is a support role. So we participate with the Commander's Task Force. We're not a voting member of the Commander's Task Force, but we are there as in an advisory capacity, similar to how MDVA would be, so that we can make sure that the input from our CVSOs from across the state, who are the boots on the ground, folks that are helping veterans get their claims done every day, helping folks get their property tax exclusions done if they reach a certain level of disability. We see these folks day in, day out, so having our organizational representatives there on hand to provide input for these items is really important.
And now Trent was talking about, you know, the big curveball that came in with some of the funding, the targeted funding amounts. You know, when you talk about the priorities, legislative priorities, is there one in particular that, you know, one thing in particular that really kind of drives you, that motivates you?
From where I sit in my CVSO office, the biggest one that we see most often at our level is the disabled veteran property tax exclusion. Okay. That law has been around for a long time now, I think about 15 years, and has the dollar amount for the property tax exclusion has yet to be changed a single time during that period of time. And I don't know about you, but I know that property values around here have certainly increased a bit in the last 15 years. So providing folks a modernized number that they can live with so that they're not worried about being priced out of their home due to rising property taxes is, I think, the least we could do.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Trent talked about that as well. I mean, that's a big concern. We don't want to have our veterans losing their homes because of increasing property taxes. We have about a minute left here, Tom, and I know that one of the topics that's pretty near and dear to you is suicide prevention. And so I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about some of the initiatives or the things you're involved with to help get after that.
Absolutely. So I'm actually the Minnesota Association of CVSO Suicide Prevention Coordinators. So we are recently just standing up technical assistance coordinators to make sure that our CVSOs across the state have the ability to get connected to resources that can help them in these areas. So suicide prevention is mine. We also have a female veterans coordinator and a justice-involved veterans coordinator. But the big thing I would just make sure that we try to remind folks is that there's resources out there. If you need help and you're in a crisis, call 988, and you can press extension 1 if you're a veteran. And there's also an app that the American Legion has called Be the One. It's available in the App Store, Google Play, wherever you get your apps for your phone. And there's a resource there that can help you and people you know as well.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, right? Just yes, listen, sir. Pay attention, and just ask. Ask if someone needs some help and be there to give it to them. So, hey, Tom, we really appreciate you spending some time with us here on Minnesota Military Radio.
Outstanding. Appreciate your time, Doug. Thank you very much, and have yourself a great day.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week, and we look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us, and send us your thoughts. Join us next week when we'll provide information about an upcoming Veterans Career Fair and check in with one of our veteran service organizations. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.